This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Wednesday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Woo, we got to through the Midsummer Classic last night, and I'm still waiting for the National League to score some runs, Jensen. Before we break it down here in earnest, what were your thoughts of the Classic last night? Pitching dominant, shall we say?
Yeah. A little shout out to the Sandlot in homage. Larry Muir, our TD, and I talking about it before the show. Really cool, nostalgic moment there. One of the bright spots of the broadcast last night. Dave, I still don't understand why we do in-game interviews. It is so stupid on so many levels. Had I known that, I would not have bet Kyle Schwarber to get a hit when you're trying to talk to him about, hey, what's going on? How's your year? And then he's trying to hit major league pitching. So other than that, a lot to like about it. We get a couple of days here, at least for many of the teams, back in action for one game with Mets and Phillies tomorrow. So excited to chop it up with here on a hump day.
Great guest list, as always. JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, is going to join us later on in this very hour. Alex Crook is going to join us here. We also know that we got one half of the World Cup FIFA final coming up on Sunday. Adam Burke, our managing editor. We're getting closer and closer to football season, people, and the Open Championship over there in Royal Birkdale. Our Wednesdays with Wes. We'll break that down with the great Wes Reynolds later on in this program. But it's all about the Midsummer Classic last night. That's where we begin with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Big two-run single by Cody Bellinger in the top of the first gave the American League a little cushion, three in the first, and they rode that home to a 4-0 shutout victory. 11 pitchers combining on this shutout here for the American League side, Jensen. Bellinger is your MVP. We can talk about that a little bit more in earnest as the show goes. But overall, again, a pretty dominant one-sided performance once the American League jumped out to that 3-0 lead.
Yeah, just a Kyle Schwarber hit short of sweeping all of my plays here for the game. Thought the total was toast when the American League went on the scoring rampage in the first inning. But after that, not really a sweat whatsoever. Under gets home easily. We were texting with a great Will Hill last night. Total closed in some places at 8.5. And so the under flies under. American League never in doubt. And one of those points too, where Dylan Cease punches out the side in the first inning. Sometimes you get those starting pitchers that might get a little bit of run there. But because the pitching was so dominant, that's how Cody Bellinger able to sneak through that MVP honor.
We'll talk more about that too, because I was a little miffed by that. Had nothing on it. Obviously, we talked about it though on the show yesterday that, you know, if you can't win that one and you're Dylan Cease, I don't know how you could ever play a starting pitcher again in an all-star game after a dominant, strike out the side type performance. But you see Bellinger now, how about this kind of stacking up those career awards here, Jensen, from OptiStats, and you get the Roy, you get the League Championship Series MVP back in 2018, the MVP, the big one in 2019, you do get the World Series as a team event in 2020, and now you get that All-Star MVP. Nobody else has ever done that in Major League Baseball history, Jensen. That's shocking to me.
Yeah, pretty cool, right? And congratulations to him. A couple of different stops now between the Dodgers and the Yankees, and we'll see if that kind of catapults he and this offense moving forward. Yankees still a lot to accomplish here in a very crowded American League. One piece of news that was really, really concerning, but also ended up looking like avoiding the worst. Junior Caminero, for those that didn't see it, gets hit by a pitch by Riley O'Brien, closer for the Cardinals. It looked awful. It looked catastrophic when he crumpled to the ground. He ran right into the dugout. So sounds like x-rays came back negative. He's already said, apparently in the post-game scrum, that not only is he going to play, he's going to play both games on Friday because the Rays got a little double dip to get going here in the second half. So, that also sigh of relief for my 20-1 MVP ticket. We did not need that to happen in an exhibition game. So glad that he's okay.
Oh, I was nervous for you because I saw the way he crumpled and then the way he got up. And as you mentioned, immediate left turn, not right turn to first base. Yeah. You went, oh, no, that's not good. But he did say, I'm good, to paraphrase here. So Caminero, as you mentioned, says he's going to play on Friday, which would be great news for your ticket and certainly for the Rays as well. Good news for my ticket, Spain. How about Spain yesterday? Dominant performance over France in that 2-0 victory to get to the World Cup final for the first time since 2010. Jensen, you and I talked about it, and we had the great Tommy Smith on yesterday as well. He likes Spain in this matchup, but I thought the way you kind of broke down the game was perfect. That first goal, how important it was, and you could see how different it was once Spain got on the board first and could really implement that defense the rest of the way. France just looked confused and lost after falling behind 1-0 after that penalty kick.
Yeah, I saw it going differently, and I took a big swing on France yesterday. So we get swept on the World Cup bets yesterday. Unfortunate there. However, as you said, your cross-board parlay lives. So does mine there for Spain. So yeah, La Roja, they move on to the final on Sunday. And no shame in having the plus 109, or excuse me, the 109-1 Spain to win the cup. Phillies to win the World Series ticket move on. We'll get another one of those big cross-board parlay tickets across the line today after we get England and Argentina live from Atlanta, buddy. This is going to be a sight to see, no question about it.
Yeah, I normally would never root for the Phillies in any instance, but if you've got a ticket like that, if Spain can get this done on Sunday, then, I got to root for my guy here, Jensen Lewis, to get that across the line. England and Argentina today down there in the ATL. Look, I know some people might have been disappointed that we didn't get really the drama with France and Spain yesterday. Maybe we thought it would be closer to the vest there, but, 2-0 to get that home. With Harry Kane and with Messi today, this does not lack for star power either, Jensen. I don't know what to expect from this one here. What do you make of the reigning defendings here trying to get it done again in Argentina to try to get back to the final?
Yeah, I will. I know I took one big swing yesterday. I might go right back to it. Dig the feet in the box. Yeah, okay, recalibrate. A couple of angles here that we'll talk about upcoming that I think are pretty advantageous here. And thought there'd be some scoring yesterday. Spain's defense is historic as it comes here in a World Cup run that they've been on. But we might see some offense here later this afternoon. So I got some plays. I got some angles that I think we're going to be able to maximize some profit on.
Just throw this out. The prediction markets here, I'm seeing that England, 53% chance to advance. Argentina, the reigning defendings, at 47%. Just throwing that out there. Remember, yesterday was France, 60%. And Spain was 40%. So just, for what it's worth, that's what they're saying so far this morning. Now, one day away. I can't wait. The time zone, I don't know if you've heard this big story that maybe here in the United States, we might finally get to universal time here, at least in the States. One time fits all. So I don't know exactly what time my golfers are going to start. I just know I'm getting up super early to watch the Open Championship over here at Royal Birkdale. Jensen, I know we can't wait. We'll talk about it with Wes. And again, like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books podcast. Hear that conversation we had yesterday with Rex Hoggard. I've really been knee deep in this stuff for the last 24 hours. We'll give out some of those thoughts that we have as the show goes. But Jensen, again, I don't know why this is my favorite of the four. I don't know if it's just because it's the last one, but because it's different. It's not what we're accustomed to in the United States. And I think in the betting market, we should realize that as well. This tournament's going to look very different than what we're accustomed to week in and week out.
1:35 a.m. Eastern is Thomas Dietrich, Matthew Baldwin, and James Nicholas. That is your early tee time there from Southport. NBC USA Peacock, so make sure your streaming subscriptions are up to date there. Also, out west, I was hearing Stormy and JVT talk about it yesterday on Money Moves, saying that that'll start out west at 10:35 p.m. Pacific time. So that'll be a little go to bed. See everyone tee off, go to bed, and then see what happens when you wake up in the morning.
I think Matt Humans will be staying up and watching all night. Knowing Matt, that's exactly what's going to happen there. We'll get to some of those plays as well as the show goes on today. We did see that the number one pick for Major League Baseball here, a record $10.35 million signing bonus for the Sox. So what do you make of that, Jensen? When you see that, do you feel like, were you in the right timeline here for Major League Baseball, or when you see rookies getting that type of record deal here as the first overall pick?
Yeah, everything's slotted, so it's pretty much cut and dry what your bonus is going to be for each pick in those rounds. I told you, I grew up in the wrong era with no NIL. I would have been a multimillionaire before I stepped foot into the professional ranks there. But hey, that's neither here nor there. Made my millions a little bit later, so we're in good shape on that front. I think what's cool about it is that the White Sox in and of themselves, think about yesterday and even Monday, you know, Munetaka Murakami has changed that team and their outlook. Miguel Vargas yesterday has the lone home run of the All-Star game, and it was an absolute tank. And then Rochtolowski here, number one pick out of UCLA. They already have a great shortstop in Colson Montgomery, but you are now in a position, if you're Chris Getz in that front office, and Dave, we'll talk about this in the next coming couple of weeks as we get close to the trade deadline. You're going to have teams that now have young assets. Not talking about Rock because you won't trade draft picks of this year.
Right.
But you now will be able to go for those assets at the trade deadline because you're competing. And they're two big all-stars there with Vargas and Murakami. And, of course, Tristan Peters there. And they are big reasons why the White Sox are tied for first place as we begin the second half on Friday.
I can tell you one thing I do like about USA Basketball is Mark Dagnall here has been added to the staff with JB Bickerstaff and Mark Few to go with Eric Spoelstra's staff, is that I'm going to show my age a little bit. But again, you can go back to the dream teams and those sort of things with Chuck Daly. But I remember when Coach K would be the head coach of this, and he would always have Jim Boeheim on his staff. I love the crossover of Mark Few with the college guys and the pro guys. I always think that's really cool, the way they do that with USA Basketball. So just know, pretty power-packed staff that Coach Spo has for Team USA. No USA in the World Cup final. We know Spain's going to be there. Who's going to join them? We'll break that down next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
There's absolutely no shortage of betting opportunities this summer, from daily baseball to World Cup soccer, getting down to the nitty-gritty on Sunday, to the countdown to our football season here in the United States. That's why it's the perfect time to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. You're going to get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, which includes our all-new 2026 and 2027 NFL betting guide to help you attack those futures markets, win totals, divisional races, and the entirety of the upcoming NFL season. Plus, you're going to get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and coverage of every major sport along the way. And remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you will get. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you on this Wednesday edition of VSiN by the Books. And we do know now that Spain will be in this World Cup final come Sunday. Now, against France yesterday, 2-0, Mbappe doesn't even register a shot on goal. And that defense that we talked about yesterday with Tommy Smith, and kind of overall throughout the tournament for Spain, that we knew that was going to be their strength. Jensen, it really was on display. And once they got that 1-0 lead, they could really sit on them and really kind of dictate the pacing of that game. I know maybe it was a surprise to some. Was it a surprise to you, the way that Spain was that dominant against France yesterday?
Yeah. Well, again, you look at teams, we talk about this a lot in the NFL, where you just don't have an answer. A team has your number. Boy, has that been the case here for Spain in a lot of different international competitions. And to be fair, you know, Tommy Smith even reiterated, Spain hasn't lost an international competition in 2 years. You know, this team, they don't change. I thought the commentary yesterday from the broadcasters was phenomenal. reiterating the fact that Spain don't change their game for anybody. And, you know, the tactical advantage here of Spain getting the early goal was then they could dictate pace. They were going to have the higher possession anyway. That's just how they're built. They were really able to confuse the front line and the midfield for Le Bleu. And I think what Spain also do really well is their counter was so incredibly efficient. And Chris, Stu Holden really highlighted that in the broadcast, that they were so efficient yesterday in all facets of the game. You could kind of tell at halftime when France came out that there was that sense of urgency. I had a couple of chances. But then when Spain got that second goal, it really put France on their heels. So congrats to Spain. They've been arguably the best team in this tournament. When you only concede one goal, I don't give a damn who you are. I mean, I saw some social media reaction to, like, does this raise Cape Verde's, stock even higher? Yeah. Because they didn't lose to Spain, but France did, and they couldn't even score a goal. So I think this is a really cool moment. Only the second time, I believe, Spain has reached the World Cup final. So congrats That's to right. them. And now today, my friend, one more nugget on that. Lamine Yamal, the 19-year-old phenom there for Spain, now 6-0 head-to-head against Kylian Mbappe of France. And Amazing. Don't think for a moment that social media doesn't matter to our superstars internationally. Oh, there was a little bit of bulletin board material the last couple of days from the youngster. He made it stand up. They got the last laugh.
Yeah, he did.
Spain move on to the final on Sunday afternoon.
And the other thing about that with their head coach, Luis de la Fuente, he's very confident too, like their 19-year-old superstar. And he went out there yesterday, Jensen. He did compliment France after the win, but he wanted to make it known that their squad is better than France. And as you mentioned, they kind of put it out there. It almost felt like Jimmy Johnson back in the day, if you remember, as Cowboy fans, you know, we're going to win the game, put it in 6-inch bowl type, right? That's kind of the way De La Fuente seems to be operating this thing. So I don't want to equate this necessarily to the Miracle on Ice in 1980, but, you know, when the United States beat the Soviets to get to the final, we all know, if you've watched the movie, and certainly if you lived it like I did, if you're old enough, you know, Herb Brooks, we're not going to go out there and lose to a bunch of Finns. Like, it's not going to matter as much if they don't win the World Cup on Sunday. Now, no disrespect to Finland, I don't think that's Argentina and or England in this instance. So you can't really equate those two. But Spain is now the odds-on favorite to win this cup, Jensen. I don't want to say there would be a great disappointment as a $1.50 betting favorite that they don't get it done, but they do have one more match to play, and this will not be an easy out, whether it's England and or Argentina.
Yeah, I think what's cool about where we are right now is there's still a lot to like about the style of where you could see either England or Argentina give Spain a different look. Will it matter? Who knows? But what we do know is we could see some fireworks again here later on in Atlanta. And that's kind of where I got to some interesting betting angles. Again, yesterday, we were pretty heavy on France. Going to shift it a little bit today, Dave, and I'm going to go with the two hottest guys for both sides. Obviously, Lionel Messi goes without saying. Anytime goal scorer for him, found that on Novig for plus $1.50. Now, that's just for 90 minutes. Mm. That does not include extra time. But my biggest play of the day is probably going to be on Jude Bellingham, anytime goal, upwards of 3-1, finding that plus 300 on Novig. I'm going to play that for about a unit and three quarters, I think, just to be able to have an opportunity to back a guy that, yes, Harry Kane is the man. If there's a penalty kick, it's probably Harry Kane taking it. But the way that Bellingham has inserted himself into every high danger chance, it feels like, in and around the net, I love riding the highs here with Jude Bellingham. So those are two plays that I will lock in right now. Jude Bellingham, anytime goal in regulation, 3-1. And then Lionel Messi, anytime goal at plus $1.50 for about a unit and a half.
I'm seeing on some prediction markets this morning that Lionel Messi is now the favorite to win the Golden Boot. Obviously, they got the match today, and Kylian Mbappe did not register a goal yesterday. So they're still knotted at 8. But you see this odd shift here since the match yesterday. Now, you would think, as you mentioned, if Argentina, anytime goal there might be a good play for Messi, he would take that outright lead with a goal. There is a tiebreaker scenario in place, which would be for assist. Mbappe still would lead that technically, Jensen. But remember, there is a third place game. So Mbappe will be able to play one more match no matter what happens with Messi and Argentina today. And something I asked Tommy Smith about yesterday, in that I wonder if you're France, are you so dejected now, depending on who the opponent would be, maybe if it's England, it feels a little bit different. There's still that rivalry. You would play defense. Would you look back to the Mbappe side here at plus $1.65 if you do get that kind of wide open non-defensive matchup in a quote-unquote match that doesn't mean anything for third place?
Yeah, I think there's an ego there. I think I heard Mitch Moss talking about it on Follow the Money, that there certainly could be some bragging rights there on the line. I think the fascinating part of it, though, Dave, is if it is England that advance and it's Messi and Mbappe and they are still with a goal, if not two-goal lead, like let's say that Kane and Bellingham don't score at all. You know, is it just straight head-to-head? Okay, boys, let's see what happens and go from there. But I tell you, I do think one of, if not both, Harry Kane, Jude Bellingham score today. But as I said, my highest conviction play will be on by Jude here to rock and roll and find the back of the net.
With your cross-sport parlays that you have live, and obviously you have a nice one with Spain still live here with the Philadelphia Phillies, do you have a preference today? Obviously, the singular game, but if you looked in that crystal ball with the opportunities that will be afforded themselves with the result today, do you have a preference whether it's Argentina or England?
Okay, the strict by the ticket payout of what I still have available. So alive right now in this match today, Argentina to win the cup parlay with the Mariners to win the World Series at a little under 57-1. England to win the cup parlay with the Brewers to win the World Series at a little south of 110-1. So we already have the 105-1 with Spain and the Phillies into the final. So, yes, the technical rooting interest for maximum payout, maximum monetization opportunity is the three Lions. Now, there ends up becoming a patriotic moral hazard part of this where am I really rooting in our 250th year of these great United States wanting England on the doorstep of raising the trophy of the beautiful game on our native soil? So I don't know where... I think I'm leaning Argentina to advance at this point, but I will be very happy with either of those cross-board tickets getting through today.
Here's what I would say, though. Let's just say it's England and Spain in the final on Sunday. I mean, we become the most anti-Dodger show in the history of shows, right? Because either way, we'd be rooting for the Phillies or the Brewers to somehow get through in the National League side. You'd have two to fight one, theoretically, if that's the way it breaks out. But if it goes the other way, maybe you get that Mariners ticket in there. That will be fascinating. So again, right now, Spain has moved odds on. If people are out there, Jensen, and without the tickets that we have in play, because we both have vested interest here at this point, would you advise anybody to hop in at the current price points here with the three remaining squads?
Yeah, if you're a conspiracy theorist, if you think the World Cup is rigged, you hop on Argentina. And I say that tongue in cheek because of all the there's been a lot in the last 24 hours put out of like, hey, wait a minute. Go all the way back to when they had the draw. Why didn't they assign Argentina to Group J the win? Oh boy, rabbit hole and then some. But yeah, Argentina, if you haven't jumped in yet, that's where I would go.
I remember when Brazil played at the beginning of this thing, they thought aliens were to come down and attack. It's been a wild, wild World Cup, that's for sure. JVT is going to get in on the hijinks. He's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Wednesday morning. Always appreciate Jonathan Von Tobel getting up early with us here. Of course, does a great job on Money Moves with Stormy Bond and Tony, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, right here in the network. Check out Pod to the Future. He and Mitch Moss do a great job looking at the futures market here. Give him a follow on X at me, JVT. Joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning, Jonathan. When you watch the World Cup and we saw what Spain did to France yesterday, do you have any existing tickets that are still alive? And have you been swept up in World Cup fever?
Oh, yeah, for sure. To answer the second question first, these games, matches have been absolutely brilliant. Every single one of them has been very entertaining. We've gotten some high leverage late goals. I mean, everything about this tournament has been fantastic. In my memory, you know, I'll be a little hyperbolic. It's the best World Cup that I can remember. And I've watched, you know, I watch every single one of them, Dave. I do really enjoy soccer to an extent. So I've absolutely been swept up in it, and I've enjoyed it. As far as tickets, I did bet England a couple of rounds ago to win the whole thing. Oh. Not a big price. It was like plus 470. So I am sitting on the English to win this thing. I thought it was right after the Mexico game. I thought that they were pretty underrated coming into this. And, you know, I'd been riding them a little bit game to game and figured, you know what, why not? Let's see what we can get with England right now. And so I believe they can beat Argentina. But, you know, it's funny talking to some folks. There was the thought that, yeah, like they're going to run into a wall, though, when they get to France. Well, France isn't there anymore. And we were discussing this the other day on our show. Spain seems to be, and obviously after this result, this is true, pretty underrated. You know, and I brought this up in the game yesterday, too, before. I had the game under 2.5, and I thought part of it was both teams were actually pretty good defensively, but that we're not giving Spain enough credit for the way that they have played on that end of the field. And they have been absolutely tremendous, and here they are, you know, a top three team in the world, now sitting there with a chance to win a FIFA World Cup. So I'm a little nervous, obviously, for this Argentina game, as we are calling them now, Vargentina. They seem to get every single thing go in their direction when it comes to results and reviews. But I do think the three Lions, after a pretty crappy performance against Norway and still pulling out a victory, can get it done.
All right. I was just going to say, any other ways you're leaning here for today's match? Any actionable spots for you, or will just sit back rooting interest, hope that England reach the final on Sunday?
Yeah, I think for me personally, that's what I'm going to do, is just sit back and wait to see if they can get it done. I would say that, you know, to advance at minus 120 is a fair price to lay there, Jensen, for somebody who does like this English team quite a bit. You know, I do like their size advantage. It seems that they have, you know, you go back to just the tournament overall. You just look back, I should say, at some of these statistics, you know, talking with our own Alex Blowers about this, you know, the big chances that they've generated, but also leading the field and big chances missed. They've actually kind of not done themselves any favors up to this point. And it's funny, you know, the dynamic of after the game against Norway, I kind of liked this. But Tom Tuchel, their manager, coming out and saying, like, nah, dude, like, we didn't really play well. I'm not really happy with this. Jude Bellingham kind of tried to correct him. But either way, you know, I like that dynamic of a team that has higher aspirations. And even after a victory, knocking out one of the more popular teams in the field, talking about how they didn't do well enough. So I think this team's going to be really primed. Obviously, the pressure is ratcheted up. Every single 4 years we talk about, hey, is it coming home? But I do think that this team's going to have it, especially after this run that they have been on. I think they've played pretty well. And I thought that Norway game was one of their worst performances. And there they are with a victory.
Vargentina is brilliant, by the way. We've got Summer League continuing right there in Las Vegas. And Atlanta is the favorite right now, plus 220. I'm seeing just a small favorite over the Lakers to win this Summer League. Jonathan, I know you like to watch these, and I wonder what you glean from them. Can you take a player or two on a squad that you might see in Summer League and say, oh, that person might get some run in the big league when we get there here in the regular season, and therefore change the expectation level, at least in your eyes, of any teams? What do you take away from Summer League action?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to change the expectation for this team, Dave, but I do know that I think the 76ers are looking at LeBaron Fylan going, man, I really hope that this is legit, because we don't have like a ton of depth, right? We're a very top-heavy team. Obviously, we get Jaylen Brown, and we really like our starting five, and we're fully healthy. But you look at the rest of that depth chart for the Philadelphia 76ers, it is somewhat thin and not a lot of guys you could trust. You know, obviously, Anthony Simons is on this roster too. We'll see if they go and get LeBron, but either way, I think you're really hoping that a guy like Fylan, who has shown out pretty well in this tournament so far, that is legitimate, that is going to stick, and that's going to move forward into something good for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I think the other name that has been pretty impressive, you know, we keep talking about Rookie of the Year, and you know, I keep saying that I think this is going to be a really deep Rookie of the Year race. It's not an original thought. You have three guys at the top in Cam Boozer and Darren Peterson and AJ DeBonsa that are very, very good players that are highly touted prospects. Well, watching him in person and seeing some of the performances, we should not forget Caleb Wilson. He has been really good out here in the Summer League. Absolutely fantastic, playing at all three levels and doing it pretty well on defense, too, from what I've seen. And I think he is going to be a legitimate threat for an all-rookie team and, of course, a Rookie of the Year candidacy, too. So I love Cam Boozer. I got to watch his game, not yesterday, but the day before, up close, sitting there in the media row, and watching that, especially when they were on offense on our side. He's really tremendous and really good physically, and he is my pick. And by the way, the Grizzlies win total 20 over even money. I like that one for sure. I think this Grizzlies team is going to be able to go over that. But I do think that Caleb Wilson has been one that I have come away with very, very impressed after watching him a little bit more.
Excellent stuff. I know this is kind of your niche too, buddy. We're looking at how we get games pretty much every half hour, so on and so forth, beginning in the afternoon for you. Anything that is actionable for you on today's slate? Anything you like for the games upcoming later on this afternoon?
Yeah, see, this is where you get into the tricky spot. And we were just talking about this yesterday, Jensen, where, I'll say the boring thing, which is you don't have to bet all these because, you know, you don't know who's going to play. You don't know how to evaluate some of these teams. And you get this sense of these games. When you get a team that has some sort of positive momentum that wins a game, whatever it is, the power rating seems to really grow on a squad. And I think you get a little too far out on some of them as well. But out of all the games here today, I think there's a couple that are worth looking at. Orlando is a 3.5-point favorite, total of 185.5. Would lean a little bit toward Orlando. They're in a bit of an older group. I do have a future on them. They're one of three that I've got. Two of them are alive. Orlando technically is alive. And then the Hawks, as you mentioned, Dave, the now favorite, we got them at 25-1. So we're hoping that actually comes to fruition. But Orlando's an older team, wow. And there's not a lot of guys that are on there that are going to be sitting there and going, oh, yeah, like we need him for next year. No, like there's 6-year players. Cam Reddish is on this roster for crying out loud. This is just an older group with a bunch of dudes trying to get some contracts. And so I do think that they're going to be in a good position against Philly, who took a pretty damaging loss for their NBA Summer League Championship candidacy yesterday on the second leg of a back-to-back to get this done. That's sitting at 3.5. And I don't have a play on this one, but I will be curious to see the game like Milwaukee and Charlotte to see what's going to go on with Milwaukee's personnel. Burry's had a good game the other day. Haven't seen whether or not he is going to get shut down. But keep in mind, a lot of these guys, they're now getting shut down. Darren Peterson and the Jazz, they've shut down their guys. We got the report yesterday. AJ DeBonta and a couple of other Wizards are done for the rest of the summer league as well. They will play my Clippers later tonight. Clippers played the Lakers yesterday. Does Keaton Wagler end up playing today? Like, Jensen, this is the time where you really got to pay attention and follow some of these beat writers to find out whether or not some of these key players are going to be out there, because you will be betting on this and then turn it on and find out that three of the guys on the roster that you were expecting to play are not playing at all and not available.
We're waiting to see what roster LeBron James is going to join. JVT, are you surprised this is just dragged out as long as it has? And I mean, it feels like it changes in the prediction markets by the day. I don't know if it's going to be Golden State. I don't know if it's going to be Philadelphia. What do you make of this LeBron saga as it continues now into mid-July?
I mean, I think personally that because LeBron James, we're going to say that it's dragging out, but if it was a decision that you were making, that I think that you would take as much time as you possibly wanted, but because we don't really like him, that we're making fun of it and complaining about it. And I say the general we, I like LeBron, I don't really care. So I think that's part of the reason why we keep doing this. And then you get the reports, right? Because I think what doesn't make it better is, you know, the reporting around it where, you know, he's getting voice memos and he's listening to them and all, like, we're so starved for content in this space that we just need every single little bit. And so it makes it seem like he's the one that's making this happen. Reality is, look, he's at the end of his career. And for a guy that's got the legacy that he does, it's a relatively important decision to end where you're going to end, whether it's back home at Cleveland or with Golden State or whatever it is. And Dave, I'm with you. You know, it's interesting about following this whole saga is keeping track of things like prediction markets that aren't really in line with some of the reporting that's out there. You know, for example, there have been strong reports from Brian Windhorst that it's going to likely be Cleveland. And yet, you know, Cleveland is just kind of sitting there at about like that 44% mark. I haven't checked for about a day, so you can quote me on it. You know, don't quote me on the exact percentage for them there. Golden State, despite the fact that there were reports that they are not part of the final three, according to Shams, we saw them over the last 3 days really creep up at the prediction markets and get a lot of action too. So that's what I find the most interesting. You know, a lot of people like to point to betting markets as this holier than thou thing that is always accurate when that isn't the case. And then here we have these prediction markets that just seem to be all over the place and not really vibing with what the reporting is out there. Ultimately, though, I think he ends up in Cleveland. I trust the reporting that has been around that more than I trust anything else. And we'll see. I thought it was going to be Golden State. I still don't think Draymond opts out of that deal unless he knows LeBron's coming. But I'll say Cleveland just because the reporting that's out there.
JVT, last one, because I think that the reporting here that I've heard jives with what you're saying there, so it wouldn't shock me. Remind me, Mountain West that you're writing up for our upcoming college football betting guide, and then any other spots in college football for you as well.
Mountain West and the SEC I will have in the college football betting guide. So I'm wrapping up the Mountain West and getting into some SEC stuff as well. So really interested in, you know, that New Mexico team at the top of the Mountain West. Very good. But I'll be selfish for a second and say look out for UNLV as well, the co-favorite in that league that's got a pretty good amount of talent coming back with some real questions at quarterback.
All right, JVT, get that run in. I know you got that Spartan race coming up here in the fall. Yeah. Great stuff, as always. Check him out on Money Moves with Stormy, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We've got a great deal for you. Winner's Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that are going to put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest absolutely free. One winner is going to receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, and another one will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. So both winners will receive a full season Winner's Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd, for your chance to win. All you have to do is visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Enter today. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. Great conversation with JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books pod. You can take it out and listen to it on your time. If you've been watching the Open Championship, and look, we had Rex Hoggard on the program yesterday from the Golf Channel. You know me, Jensen. I've been glued to it for the last 3 days trying to get a feel for this golf course. Sometimes you can get a feel for the golfers themselves and where they are mentally by some of the questions that are asked by the assembled press there. And this was not Rex or any of those guys or all our buddy Carl Paulson. I won't name the people asking some of these questions. It got a little morbid yesterday when talking to world number one, Jensen, about how he wants to be remembered. Let's listen to this Q&A.
I don't really play like for a place in history. I'm not playing for anything like that because, like, it's going to sound a little morbid, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to live my life and then it's going to end. And when it ends, I'm going somewhere else and I'm not going to be here anymore. And so legacy, all that kind of stuff was never something that really motivated me. I was always just loved competition. I love playing golf. I love like waking up with butterflies because I'm going out to play a tournament and I get a chance to try and compete today. I love those feelings. And when I retire, I'm going to miss them. But for me, I was always just trying to get out, play, get the most out of myself. And I love the challenge of trying to play golf. I love trying to get the most out of myself, trying to not only manage my body, but my mind as well, and trying to control this little golf ball and to get it to do the things I want to do with it. And those are the things that always motivate me, is just trying to get the most out of myself. And I've never been one to play for history or legacy or anything like that.
It is a look into what makes him tick a little bit, Jensen. And like, I don't know if you ever thought about, wow, what do I want to get out of the game of baseball? How do I want to be remembered? And I know these questions get asked of athletes a lot, but, you know, he's already talking about it. Like, you can see him being introspective of, like, I'm going to miss this, so I want to enjoy it, the competition, right? And sometimes he gets frustrated out there. You see it, wears it on his sleeve a little bit. But that shows you that he's in it, man. He's not thinking too far down the line. I think he's thinking more present day than anything else.
I think back to the great Marcus Aurelius from Gladiator, Dave, early in the movie when he says, you know, when a man sees his end, you know, he wants to know that his life has meant something. And, you know, something along those lines. I can't remember it exactly, but, that to me, you know, I even yesterday, Justin Verlander, you know, they were talking with him live in the game and asking him, you know, what does it mean? He goes, it never gets old. You never take it for granted. And Mike Trout, same thing. I'm sure it was extra special and one that will stick out for the entirety of his career. Mike Trout received the ovation that he did before the first pitch in his own backyard in one of the most hostile environments in baseball. Yet because he's a Philly native, he was treated as a native son. And I'm sure it meant so much, not only to him, but then also playing with his kids now that actually have a sense of what dad has accomplished here. How many times have we looked at Barrett, you know, Scheffler here and, you know, like, okay, now he's got his little, you know, club bag and he's coming around and it now it's not about the range anymore. It's getting Barrett his balls and doing dad duty and things of that nature. So I think every time you hear these athletes, when they become new dads or they become dads again, you know, it is that irony of the game Not that it doesn't mean as much anymore, but the priority shifts and you appreciate so much more because the mental space now has shifted. All that being said, I think we're in for one of Scottie Scheffler's best. I don't know if he wins it this week, but I certainly think that there is a level of calm. There's a centeredness to him, and that's dangerous for the rest of the field because he doesn't give off the frustration vibe right now, Dave. It feels like he's cleared the mind. He's even with the miscut. It was like, all right, well, I can't do any worse. I couldn't even make the weekend in the last, like, no big deal. All right, let's re-rack it and let's focus on going to get that claret jug yet again.
Your failings as a son are my failings as a father. That was a great Marcus Aurelius you did, by the way. But you mentioned it with Scotty and being a dad, right? And you know that's the priority it is, but you're right. He does seem to... missing the cut of the Scottish Open, he said yesterday it was more frustrating finishing second in those tournaments than it was missing that cut and ending that historic streak that we didn't know if he'd ever get to Tiger Woods level. Of course, he did not. But, you know, it shows you where he is mentally. And I think you're right. Does that get you to put him in some of your builds this week that you like Scotty as your anchor?
Yeah, he'll be in both of them. And as traditionally we do on our FanDuel lineups here for Bet the Build, we'll shop at the top and get a couple of the big ticket guys. And Scotty is one of them. But Matt Fitzpatrick, and I understand this is going to be pretty chalky here with two guys that a lot of people around the industry are looking at to be there, you know, at least for our neck of the woods, early into Sunday morning, late afternoon across the pond. But I think with the ball striking, knowing how the course is going to be fast and firm, I want the guys that can control it. I want Matty Fitz, who right now, if this is his career best form, I don't think we're going to get a lot of argument. He's been in the top 10, it feels like, every other week. I think that pairing to start is great. The mid-tier for me, and now because of where we are with some of the higher-end guys, we're going to get some discounts of some bigger names. And Siwoo Kim, I was really thrilled that he was under 10,000 here for FanDuel, but as a consistent top 20 performer, I think it's a reasonable price for him. And then some. JJ Spawn in that same mold here, Dave. No, it's not going to be the horrible weather, which we know he thrives in, but it's still tough conditions, and we know he can handle that major pressure. And then Cashmere Keith and Alex Smalley, who we have really done well when we've installed them in these various lineups throughout the year. Smalley's actually been one of the hotter players on tour. And of course, Cashmere Keith going to bring that length with as firm as these fairways are going to be. I absolutely want the big dog off the tee there. DraftKings is a similar build here, Dave, but we did have to go a little bit different. And I do like where we are here with a couple of these spots. Back to Scotty at the top, but Tyrrell Hatton. I told you yesterday, love that he is one of the more proven links performers on tour. Russell Henley with the elite driving accuracy, strong recent major history. Harris English has been a plug and play for us many a time. He was runner up to Scheffler, remember, last year. And then also one of our favorites, Matt McNealy, and also Jake Knapp. Those are a little bit longer, high variance bombers, if you will. But I think those guys, even though they carry the volatility questions, the thumb issue from Jake Knapp, I think we're in great spots here with those subdued salaries to get all these guys through the cut and have a chance to have a really nice score heading into the weekend.
I'll tell you what I noticed about your builds is, at least in the DraftKings one, 5 out of 6, USA, USA, USA. And it is interesting because it looked like at the Scottish, we weren't well represented. And then you looked at Sunday and you saw all the American flags up there towards the top of the leaderboard. So that is one of those things that's very interesting. Sometimes we eschew a lot of the Americans. We should not do that just because we're playing over there on foreign soil, over there in England. To that end, my two to watch this week, I gave you three in the no-fly zone. They were all Americans that I was looking to fade. There's two Americans that I do have on my watch list, if you will, on the positive side. And one of them is Chris Goddard. Here we go again. With Goddard over there, for whatever reason, Jensen, Lynx Golf just seems to appeal to a guy from New Jersey. I mean, how does Goddard seem to be playing so well over there? I took a stab at him at 45-1. I really like that price point here. That's you're not going to find that available here. If you can still get him around the 30-1 mark, I would take that. And Wyndham Clark, I added him late yesterday, Jensen, after listening to him. And I know people are making a lot of the coat hanger that he's practicing with out there this week. Like he needs some sort of tricked up method to get his game back in shape. His game is in great shape right now. Obviously coming off winning the last major at the United States Open and then having really good performances at the Canadian Open, at the RBC, and then another really good showing last week at the Scottish. And he's talked about kind of being the villain, and that like when he put the Jack Hughes jersey on for USA up in Canada and he got ribbed, like he's good with this stuff now. Jensen, I think he's in a really good mental spot, and that, okay, he's not going to win over everybody. He's not going to try to do that anymore. He's going to go out and play his game. And right now, I think you can make the argument he's one of the five best players in the world. And that run out, as you alluded to, it's going to be real. He's going to have length advantages over there. So will Chris Goddard. Two Americans that you might want to think about putting on your card this week. They're going to be on mine. Chris Goddard and Wyndham Clark over there in jolly old England. You're watching By the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.